to your account all the way, covering every part of your past life, so that when my Father looks at the record, He will never, ever see a single sin you have ever committed as far as penalty is concerned. Never. He will see only my character righteousness in the place of those sins. And it will be treated, you will be treated as if you had never sinned, were not now a sinner, never ever again would be a sinner. See, that's what the Bible calls justification. Amen. Justification. One of the most marvelous words the vocabularies of men have ever known. It's a legal term. It means when I stand trembling before God and say, "Oh God, I have sinned." And God says, "Yes, I know. And I'm not trying to hide how bad it is. I'm not trying to cover for you as far as the fact of your sins is concerned." When He says, "Yes, I know," He knows everything about you and admits it fully. Does not try to hide anything. Just like you have to say everything that's true about you and admit it fully before God. That's confession. But He says, "In the moment you agree with me about my Son, that He is Lord, He has died for you, risen to cover your situation, and you receive Him into your heart, I justify you from all things." Now, friends, you can't go past all things. That's exactly the Word of God. "I justify you from all things in the moment you receive my Son." And I say, "My, that is so grand, it's hard for me to believe." See, that's the reason it takes a miracle to be saved. The Holy Spirit convicts and convinces that that's so. And the instant you know it, you receive it, Jesus, you know it so in your life. Now, suppose I could have asked another question. "Well, that's wonderful, Lord. You've covered my past, but what about my future? Because I know myself well enough to know that I'm very weak." If I could have known this term, I would have said, "I'm very selfish, very fleshly. I'm very capable of sin. And unless you blot me out altogether, I'm still going to be capable of those things, even if I have you into my life. So what about the future?" Now, here's what He would have said. "What you don't understand is that crediting process covers past, present, and future." In other words, from now on, God never sees you as a sinner with the potential to sin anymore. He sees you as perfectly righteous in my Son, Jesus. But I've got better news for you than that. And that's about the grandest thing you'll know till you discover this one. "I'm not willing," God says, "to merely play a bookkeeping game with you. I literally want you to realize that you literally receive my Son into your heart the day you're saved. So that in the presence of the Holy Spirit, my own Son, my beloved Jesus, comes into your heart to literally live in you. That means," now listen carefully, "except for your sins, the margin of difference between you and Christ, you have 100% of the personality potential of Jesus Christ today." Right. Wow. See, because the margin of difference between me and likeness to Christ is my sins. That means that's a major problem. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk with me. That's the last half of the book of Ephesians. I want you to walk with me. I want you to, as it were, hold your palm in the warm hand of my Son. I want you to press your heart up close to His heart inside of you. I want you to catch His pulse beat, come to know His character. I want you to look in the reference manual and find out all there is to be known about Him. And I want you to so walk with Him that He can actually fill you, not with a bookkeeping transaction, but with His personal presence. So that in effect in time, as you grow in this, you can be filled with all of my fullness, because Jesus is full of my fullness. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. So as you walk with Him, He fills you with Himself and guarantees the resources by which you can carry on this journey right to the last, the ultimate and the ultimatum of it, and all the way down. Now, listen, the storm is also going to hit this kind of life. What's going to happen to it? Well, you've got in you now in control the person who walks on the water of storms. Right. And you cannot handle the storm. Now, you can try to handle it yourself as a Christian, and you'll collapse as a Christian. That's what Jesus came in for, to be your resource and to handle every single situation in your life. Then Paul's prayer becomes more pertinent than ever before. I pray that you'll know the inner strengthening of the Holy Spirit. You'll know the indwelling, in-walking presence of Christ throughout your life, having the run of the house on the inside of you all the time. You'll know the love of God with all of its dimensions that passes academic knowledge and understanding. You'll know it in relationship and experience on the inside, in order that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that, friends, is the bottom line here of what a Christian is all about. A person being increasingly filled with all the resources, the character resources of God, changing him ever in order that Jesus might be in control in him and on display through him. I wonder how well we're doing. See, if you're saved, you've got a perfect record here. The question is, are you taking the resources of relationship with Christ to not merely have accredited fullness, but to have an actual character fullness of Jesus developed in you day by day, what being a Christian is all about? Let me have a last moment. I want to illustrate this. I brought with me today a copy of one of the students' classics of English literature. And this is Macaulay's essays on British history. And this one has to do with Lord Clive. Lord Clive, if you're a student of history, he was the British appointed Prime Minister of India. And he had the run of the Indian household, in effect. He was the governor of India. And after several years of being in charge over there, the British government called him home under heavy legal indictment because it was found out that he had, in effect, they thought, embezzled a fabulous fortune from the Indian princes, the princes of India. And so they'd brought him to trial. Lord Clive, a hero in India, in England up to this point, and now he's in danger of becoming a villain. I want you to listen to Macaulay's words. Clive was subjected to the most unsparing examination and cross-examination. The boldness and ingenuousness of his answers alone would suffice to show how foreign from his nature were the frauds to which he had sometimes descended according to their charges. He was allowed to speak for himself. He admitted that he had received immense sums from the Indian princes, but he denied that in doing so, he had violated any obligations of morality or honor. He described in vivid language the situation in which his victory had placed him. Great princes of the realm in India, dependent on his pleasure, wealthy bankers bidding against each other for his smiles, vaults piled with gold and jewels thrown wide open to him and to him alone, the treasury coffers of India opened to him. Now listen to what he said. Quote, "I was invited to help myself, to take as much as I would. Is it possible that I took only 200,000 pounds. Now listen, is it possible that I took only 200,000 pounds? Great God, Mr. Chairman, at this moment I stand astonished at my own moderation. I am amazed that I took so little. To think that there was so much for me, and I came away with so little when I had it all for the mere asking and the mere taking." Now that's exactly the way the Christian life is. When you stand before God and God swings open the crack of the goody closet and lets you see what you could have had in Christ, what will your response be? Will you be charged with taking too little? It's not possible to take too much. You see, God is the most overcommitted, the most self-committed, poor term, overcommitted, self-committed person in this universe. He is totally obligated to your fullness if you will but take what He offers.